the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. While we are standing, I would like to offer the scripture lesson for our sermon from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever takes and relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said. Amen. Heavenly Father, may we truly be humble and contrite before you. May we be those who tremble at your word and cause your word to sink deeply into our hearing. And may we be those who hear, behold, and behave according to our calling. Through Jesus we pray this, and amen. You may be seated. Generally speaking, in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is speaking of the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, and he's showing something of the life of the citizens of his kingdom. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is true of you. Jesus is saying, my followers, the citizens of my kingdom, they are this way. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a disciple, if you're a citizen of his kingdom, Jesus also says, they do this. So they are and they do. This is who they are and this is what they do. Jesus began these words of the gospel of the kingdom, this message from the mountain, this sermon from the mountain, with the blesseds, the beatitudes. My people are blessed. They are blessed. Now Jesus speaks of salt and light. He says, you are salt, you are light. He's very pointed in this. It's not you might be salt or you might be light. He is saying you are. My followers are the salt of the earth. My followers are the light of the world. You were made this way, you salty ones, by another. You were made this way, you light of the world, by another. But you're not this way for yourself. You're made this way by another, but you are this way for others. Salt, just to be with salt? Nah. There's a flavor. It's supposed to go out. It's supposed to be applied. It's supposed to be out there. It's supposed to be in the earth. In the earth. Light. Light. It's not just for itself. It's not just so that you can see your own reflection in the mirror. It's kind of dark in here. Let's click on a light. Okay, this is for me, my face, our faces. No, you're to be the light of the world. So Jesus mentions salt and light. He says, this is what you are. Right after this, Jesus mentions the law. He mentions the law and those who are to uphold the law, the prophets. This is what he said. Don't even think, don't even go there, don't think in this way that I have come to abolish, to do away with, to set aside the law. Not at all. I've not come to set aside the law or the prophets, those who upheld the law. So what does Jesus do here? He mentions salt, he mentions light, and he mentions law. How would this have been heard then? Now, Jesus is teaching his disciples specifically. However, there's a great crowd that is gathered. They're on this mountain, found a level place, a plain of sort on the mountain. And Jesus is saying these words to them: you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Don't even think that I came to get rid of the law. Don't even think that. How would they have heard these words? What kind of biblical cargo was Jesus presenting to them with these statements? What was going on? Let me suggest that it's very likely that Jesus is presenting something of a, allow this please, a walking tour of the tabernacle in the wilderness and the temple that was established in Jerusalem. It's a walking tour. That Jesus is taking his disciples, saying, you're going to be my followers? I'm going to take you on a walking tour into the temple area. What do you find first in the temple? You find salt. Every offering, according to Leviticus chapter 2, was to be offered with salt. What happens then? That's in the outer courtyard. That's in the outer courtyard. What comes next? Once you enter the temple, there was a curtain, and you'd walk into what's called the holy place. And in there, you'd find a lamp. You'd find light. It was a single lampstand with seven lamp holders, three on each side and one in the middle. If you were to go farther in, if you were to go deeper in, you'd come to the Holy of Holies, and what would you find there? You'd find the law. So what you have is Jesus taking them on a walking tour of the temple from salt to light to the law, and the law was in the Ark of the Covenant, which was overshadowed by those cherubim. Cherubim, one on each side, two, plural, cherubim. Jesus is also saying something else. If this is a walking tour into the temple, then Jesus is saying that this is a walking tour toward the presence of God. Toward the presence of God. Okay, the tabernacle of the temple by itself. Remember, the tabernacle was that structure, the mobile structure in the wilderness. After they were planted in the land of promise, the land flowing with milk and honey, the fat land. That's when the temple was built. Solomon built the temple. Similar structure. Those structures were to represent the place of the presence of God. You know why? Because they were pointing forward to the one who was the final tabernacle. God became flesh and dwelt, tabernacled among us, John 1:14. He was the final temple. He was the one whose body was the temple that was to be broken down. This was the place of the presence of God. This is the place where God came and met with man, and where mankind came and met with God. So the tabernacle or the temple itself represents the presence of God. Also, the tabernacle was a place that was between heaven and earth. It was between heaven and earth. It was a conjoining place. But when it comes to the salt, when it comes to the offerings, if we are going to walk toward the presence of God, we must first be accepted. We can't be rejected. Every offering needs to be offered with salt. The Lord accepts. After that, the light needs to be present. And light throughout the Bible is a representation of the presence of God. You remember at the beginning of creation, darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the first words that our Lord said was, let there be light. And it wasn't until the fourth day that he appointed those lamps in the heavens. What was the light then over the darkness? It was the presence of God, the hovering Spirit. Let there be light. Light, immediately. On the fourth day, then, our Lord appointed the sun, moon, and the stars to govern the day and the night. By the way, the Hebrew word for them are lamps. God put lamps in the universe. By the way, children, have you ever had a day where you have not experienced this reality of creational newness? Every morning that you have awakened, darkness gives way to light. Every day. This happens over and over again. You have an interesting morning. Woke up in the wee hours. Very dark. Very dark. It's very dark outside. Finally went back to sleep. Woke up. Light. The darkness was conquered. So we've seen this from the beginning of creation on. God makes his own presence known as light. So again, God's presence, in order to accept, we have salt, then we go forward to light. Oh, there's more. How did God lead his children in the wilderness? A pillar of fire. That's right. Our God is considered a consuming fire. Oh, and in the tabernacle and in the temple, you know, there was those lamps were to always be lit because it was the place of the presence of God. Light. Well, then when you go deeper in, when you continue to go in, you find the law in the Ark of the Covenant. According to Psalm 99, the Ark and the cherubim, that's considered the place where God dwells. So here we are, God who dwells in unapproachable light. We have the two stone tablets of the law given to Moses in the Ark of the Covenant. And you know what the law was? The law wasn't some kind of miserable, nasty, oh, please don't talk about the law. The law was light-giving and life-giving because it comes from the very finger of God, the very voice of God. Psalm 119, verse 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. Are you simple? Are you a little naive? You're a little struggling with a bit of foolishness? Go to the Word. Go to God's law word, and all of a sudden, the lights are going to come on. Psalm 119, 105. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Why is it that so many people wander about in darkness? Because they've done this. I don't want to pay attention to God's word. So anyway, that's what we've got. It's a walking tour of the temple, and it's a walking toward the presence of God. Deeper in. Salt, light, law. Now, we need to be clear about something. All of this is true, first of all, it's all of Christ. We have to get that straight. We know this from the Old Covenant. All of those matters, those people, those particulars, those places, they were all pointing forward to another one who was to come. Jesus is salt. He is the accepted offering. He is the final offering. Light. He is the light of the world. By the way, our New Testament reading today, wasn't that fascinating? John opens up his apocalypse, his unveiling. And remember, it's not a concealed book. It's an opening book. That's what apocalypse means. It means open it up. John opens it up with a vision of the bridegroom. With a vision of the bridegroom who is coming to claim his bride. That's what's going on in the book of Revelation. And it's an interesting description. The way that John describes this mighty figure follows the order of the way the bride in the Song of Solomon speaks of her beloved. I'm going to start up here. We speak of the hair. We're going to go here. Speak of the mouth. Down. This is a picture of the bridegroom. And where's the bridegroom standing? He's standing amidst the lampstand. Well, that makes sense. God in flesh, the light of the world, shows up and he's standing among the lampstands. He is the light of the world, and his lampstands are the churches, the seven churches. Well, we have to go and continue on. The law. All of this is true, first of all, in Jesus, the law. He is not just the lawgiver. He is the only one who has faithfully fulfilled the law. So here we go. Salt, light, law. All true, first of all of Christ. However, it's also supposed to be true of us, his followers. Jesus' followers. This is supposed to be true of us. This is supposed to be for us. Here we go. You are the salt of the earth. You can't say, no, 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 you, my followers, Jesus is saying, you are the salt of the earth. You, with your union with me, you're the light of the world. And your righteousness is supposed to exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. You can't just go, you know what, the way they've been doing is pretty good. No, keep your eyes fixed on Christ. You're supposed to be salt, acceptable offering. You're the sacrificial offerings. Go out, sacrifice yourselves. You're accepted by the Lord. You're accepted. You're the light of the world now because of your union with Jesus, and you're supposed to live lives of lawful righteousness. Lawful righteousness. Next, I'm going to walk to the other side here. If the salt and the light and the law is a walking tour of the temple, what Jesus is doing is he's turning around the walking tour of the temple. To go in, Jesus begins with salt and goes to light and goes to law. He is walking in to the temple, going in. It is narrower and tighter and more precise. What Jesus is doing by saying, you now are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, your righteousness is... He is now saying, this is walking out of the temple. You're to walk out. And so it's becoming larger and wider and more expansive. Jesus is turning that temple tour around, and he is saying, go out. Go out. Salt of the earth, no longer restricted to the offerings. You're the offering. You've been accepted. You're blessed. Go. And yes, you're going to be persecuted. Get on with it. Light of the world, literally light of the cosmos. You're the light of the cosmos. Wow. But they seem so small. Oh, right, but always taking over, always conquering the darkness. Go. You're the light of the world. Not behind the veil. We're not going from courtyard to the holy place. Go out. You're the light of the world, light of the cosmos. And last, you're supposed to have a visible righteousness, a visible, lawful righteousness. Your law is not to be in a box. It's to go out. So what we have now, whereas walking in to the temple was going into the presence of God, by Jesus turning this around, he's saying, now my presence is going to go out to the entire world. Go out. I'm going to show my presence to the entire world. Now there's a rebuke in this. There's a rebuke in this. And you need to understand this to understand what's going on in Matthew's gospel. There are people thinking that, you know what, we're fine. We're good. We've got the name of God on us. We're the covenant people of God. And Jesus is saying, you're supposed to be this, but you're not. And I will cast you to a place of outer darkness. You think you're the accepted ones? No, I will reject you. You think you're lawful? No. The scribes and Pharisees, lawfulness misses it because it's not focused on Jesus. There's a rebuke in this. Israel was supposed to be this way, salt, light, and law, but they failed in their calling. So Jesus comes, fulfills their calling, and says, now you're my people, go on with my calling, go forward. They were not faithful as the city of God, so Jesus now establishes and appoints his city, and it's supposed to be a city of light. They were not faithful. By the way, Jesus also establishes his house. And it's supposed to be a house of light. Those are the two images Jesus now gives when it comes to light. And by the way, every child can get this. Do the children of God get this? You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. The city set on a hill is supposed to be seen. We're not supposed to do, oh no, I need to find my new bunker. It's to be seen in order to give guidance, to give direction, to give welcome in the dark. And our Lord is saying this, the world is a dark place. You're my city. By the way, this is not America. This is not the United States. This is the church. The church is the city set on a hill. We need to be gospel people holding it with both hands. This is what Jesus says. You, my followers, are the city set on a hill. You're supposed to be seen. What are we supposed to look like? Get to that in a moment. Next, you're also a light. People don't light a lamp and put it under a basket. You can take a pick a. He's talking about candles here. You take a candle. If you put a candle and then you snuff it out, or you put a cup over it, or something, why would you do that? Well, it's because you're trying to hide something, or maybe you're trying to let people stay asleep. So you're walking in the room. I've got a flashlight that I'll use at night. It's very bright. Sometimes I have to put it up against me. I don't want people to. Why would you ever cover it? Jesus said, no, no, no. If you're going to light a lamp, you put it on the lampstand so it gives light to the whole house. It's lifted up to be seen, to shine in the darkness, to reveal, to help others in the house. Okay. See this? Jesus speaks of this salt and light and says this is who they are. Being salt and being light is not reducible to some idea, as if our doctrinal understanding is going to make it. You can't reduce, I'm salt and I'm light, to some thought or idea, some badge of citizenship. Let me tell you, who are you? Let me pull out my ID. I'm salt. No, salt doesn't work that way. That's not what Jesus is saying at all. In the same way, Jesus goes on, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. What is the light? Jesus is very clear. Here it is. It's your good works. You know, in the church today, there's an allergy to speaking about good works. What are you talking about? Good works. Jesus is speaking of his followers. You are the citizens of my kingdom. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. And your light is supposed to be seen. Let other people are supposed to see your good works. And then we go, oh, no, we can't talk about good works at all. No. Jesus does. Let other people see your good works. There's an allergy to good works because there's an allergy to the law of God. We don't even know what to say when it comes to the law of God. Well, Jesus is going to say, don't think I came to get rid of it. I came to fulfill it. We don't know what good works are because we're afraid of the law of God. What is right? What is true? What is good? What is just? What is lovely? What is beautiful? What is holy? In no way is Jesus saying, oh yeah, let your light so shine before men so that I will finally accept you. Let your good works be present before others so that I will finally embrace you. No, you are the salt. You are the accepted offering. You are the light. You are the people of my presence. You are now to go forth and show that in the way you live. Boys and girls, children in here, I almost had you say it after me, salt, light, law. But I'm not going to do that. I want you to hear the Word of God, and as your parents, as your brothers and sisters speak to you, there's nothing wrong with them saying, you need to live a life of good works. Whoa. Good work. That's what Jesus says. Good works. Because you're in Christ. Are you in Christ? Live that way. Walk that way. Speak that way. And so when somebody comes up and holds you up and says, wait a minute, that's not the way you learn Christ, you should go, that is correct. I am salt. I am light. I am to live in a particular way. I don't live this way in order to be accepted. I live this way because of who I am. You show the family resemblance. All right. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. This is really, in one sense, a very simple passage. How would they have heard it? Likely this way. But we're leaning into this and we're wanting more. What does this look like? Well, Lord willing, next week we'll take a look at a lawful righteousness. A lawful righteousness. Following Christ, the lawful one, the lawgiver, the gracious lawgiver, the giver of the gracious law. But here's the thing. Psalm 36, verse 9 says, "In thy light we see light." If we're never spending any time with the light of the Lord, before the light of the Lord, we will wander in darkness. We are to be like the moon in one sense, or the stars, to reflect the light, the lamps. One writer said this: "The purpose of our lives is to remove the veil from the Father's face and display something of His glory to the world. It shall no longer be necessary to ask the purpose of life. The purpose of life is the glory of God. The way we live gives glory to God." Nobody's going, "Oh, the chief end of man. Chief end of man is to glorify God, to enjoy Him forever. I've got that." How do you do that? By just talking about it? How do you do that? By pulling out an ID card out of your wallet, or showing a bracelet? Or by the way you live? By the way you interact with one another? And yes, isn't it interesting that Jesus begins to speak of our interaction with one another? You've heard about murder. How do you speak to one another? You've heard about lust. What are your desires like with one another? You've heard about marriage. Are you willing to cut things off with one another? You've heard about oaths, and you can just swear by whatever you want. Do you really keep your word? Oh, you've heard about this and that and retaliation and paybacks. Do you really live in a way that shows reconciliation? Jesus has taken us on a tour into the presence of God, and now we are to manifest that in how we live. In this sense, we are to take His presence out into the world. The law of God? You know, the law of God, according to Deuteronomy chapter 4, was to make the watching world stand back and to say, "Wow, I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen a people with laws like this that behave this way." Tertullian spoke of the people who opposed the Christian church, and you know what they said? "Wow, they're women. Wow, what beautiful virgins. What lovely people. How they behave." Yes, they spoke that way. From Deuteronomy chapter 4, "Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes," this is what they'll say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we shall call upon Him, His presence? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you this day?" So let's go ahead and conclude. Who are you? Jesus says you are. What do you do? Jesus says this is what you're supposed to do. Salt, light, law. Jesus is building His own temple, His own spiritual house made up of you. So the whole temple image. Yes. 1 Peter chapter 2. "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." That's who we are. May the walking tour continue. May the life tour continue. And may we be a people who go forth from this place as salt and light and love God's law. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.